Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Battlecast. I am your host, Seth Vilo, here today with my brilliant other people here to join me and talk about the mysteries that are the tiering systems right now, as well as the slowly becoming more and more unveiled mystery that is Dynamax. But before we go into that, let's introduce our co-hosts. Today I've got Dr. Shamu.
Yep.
And R. Sigma.
Hello.
So guys, before we dive into this, I want to know how you guys are, because you got to go to something this last weekend that I unfortunately couldn't go to. How was PuckleCon, guys?
Oh, it was pretty good. Surprisingly, not as many TCG packs were opened.
Yeah, you said like only 300, right?
There's only like 4 booster boxes, maybe 5. But the thing is, there was a certain person that didn't open any, as far as I'm aware.
I mean, I went home with like 45 codes, and there were like 20 to 30 of us. So
I went home with about double that.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. You opened an entire booster box.
Well, 1.5, but yeah. Yeah. And then pre-release kits and other random packs here and there.
Yeah, prize pack, booster packs.
You guys really behaved yourselves this year, didn't you?
Well, 10 Little Men did.
10 Little Men did.
That's what's surprising. I don't think he... Did he get half a box with someone, or did he just not?
I thought he split half a box with someone.
Maybe he split half a box. I didn't see him open a full box or anything like that. Not like
he didn't get his normal 15 boxes?
No.
He bought a Pokeball tin, though, and a bunch of mystery boxes.
Yeah.
With Puzzle and Minun in them.
Oh, yeah, those things. Oh, no.
Which meant he got, like, Primal Clash or Evolutions packs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he got something out of his Evolution pack, too. He got the secret rare flying Pikachu card.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he got.
I remember that, yeah. Remember that. He got a secret rare.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. Well, that's good to hear. I really wished I could have been there, but that's under the bridge now. I'll be there next time. Whatever. The other thing that happened that's really interesting, and one of the big reasons that I wanted to have you two guys on, was there was the sample. There was the little demo. So without going into the meat of the topic we're going to talk about, what's your impression of Sword and Shield so far?
I enjoyed it. We only got to play through that gym, which... Toward the end, there was a group consensus that last puzzle was way harder than any of us expected.
Outside of, like, ice puzzles and some of the ice gyms in...
Yeah.
It might have been one of the hardest puzzles in a Pokemon game.
Wow. You had to go back really far, too, didn't you?
There was a straightforward approach, and then as you went the straightforward approach, you found out, hey, that doesn't work. So...
Yeah, and then... The helpers didn't really know what the actual solution was. At least mine didn't. Let's go to that. It's like, okay, oh, I see what you're saying. And it didn't work. It's like, wait, what? Solid like 10 minutes of trying to figure out, 10, 15 minutes, I would say, trying to figure out this last puzzle.
Yeah, it was a refreshing case of difficulty, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think there was status in the demo, so we didn't actually get to see if they improve the system from Let's Go, where it takes like 20 seconds for AI to decide to do something after they're poisoned.
Ugh. Yuck.
Yeah, there also wasn't double battle, so we didn't get to test that system out either. So.
Mm-hmm. I heard it ran at a pretty consistent frame rate, though.
Yes, but like I said, it was statuses that really made Let's Go kind of fall apart. So.
Right.
I do believe people said there was some stuttering in the frames, so during like Dynamax,
mm-hmm.
the frames kind of went down a bit. I didn't notice it myself, but...
Luckily, it's a demo version, so yeah, hopefully they can iron that out.
Because you know, some things did look kind of like dumbed down a bit, but overall, it still looked fantastic.
Pirouetting's back. That's always fun to do on the overworld.
The controls were also real janky. Because I was like messing around with the controls, and like it's just really like sensitive, almost. Because like the entire time, I was just weaving back and forth, walking around. Just kind of testing out, see how like how it reacted. And it was like it was pretty sensitive. Just like, and that one's a game where like you go up by accident and it's like you're just gonna go at a slightly weirder angle. It's just like you went the direction you put in it, it went. It was responsive, we'll say.
That's cool to know. Yeah. That's good. Well, I'm excited. I'm kind of getting a little bit of my hype back now that I've come to the acceptance stage of grief, but we're not here to talk about Dexit. We're here to just talk about,
I mean,
the battling mechanics.
We could. It's been good. It's only been 2 weeks. We haven't covered it in this episode yet.
Yeah, that'll be the episode come closer when we have more of what actually is going to show up. So we'll find out then. Right now, it's looking like it's going to be Gen 4 all over again. So get those emoticons ready, everybody. That's what it's looking like.
I look forward to Gen 4 with Galissapod and Hydreigon. And
right, right.
I mean, essentially, it'll be like UU is right now.
Yeah,
which I'm okay with.
Yeah, or at least the OU tier will be. All the other ones will be all over the place. We'll see if we even have all the tiers that we have now. Just depending on the palette of
we have
Pokemon
Seeking.
We come with.
There will be a.
We have Seeking Lightning Rod. Seeking will become the ultimate Jolteon counter.
Oh my! We're on Whirlpool.
There you go.
You trap. You take the hit, you trap it, then you go into your dark type, or into your ground type.
And it can't volt switch out.
Can't volt switch.
We found it, guys. We did it. You heard it here. Oh my. But anyway, with that, let's get into the meat of this. Let's talk about what's going on in the tiers. So we'll be right back.
It's tier time.
Welcome back. We're here to talk about the tier updates, as we do in every Battlecast, just to give an idea on the current metagames in the Smogon tiering system. So, we had a brief mention last month of something that had started in the last month's Battlecast, and that was in the UU tier. Sigma, you want to go over what was going on in the UU tier?
Yeah, they attempted to ban Scizor, which is essentially the equivalent of Landorus in OU, where it's around 40-ish percent usage and... people who like to say it's on every team. So
it kind of is.
Feels that way?
It feels that way, yes. So they ended up not banning Scizor, which is probably okay. I don't think Scizor is that threatening in the meta.
Yeah, because I don't know much about the UU tier or anything like that, but just looking at it, like, all your fire types are A, faster than it, B, they don't really suffer from bullet punch or anything like that. The only one that could be somewhat outspent is Volcanion.
Mm-hmm.
But, Rotom Heat, like, you just do Overheat, it's dead. Moltres, mm-hmm. Flamethrower, mm-hmm. it's dead.
Yeah.
Infernape, like, Fire Punch, Flare Blitz, it's dead. Like, mm-hmm. As long as you're running a Fire type, you're perfectly fine, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. it keeps a lot of things in check, too, like Mega Altaria.
Yeah, and Altaria, the threat, like, those are both massive threats. I remember back in like Gen 5 and when Terrakion Mon was the thing within every team.
Yeah.
It was just a solid Mon. Fighting rocks.
It was Latios is another one.
It was a great Pokemon before the Landorus appeared.
And then Altaria is a monster that can, if it gets set up, it's just unstoppable. Like, we have a lot more tracks than OU now for it. That's why it's down here, but like, it's still a viable Mon.
I think Latios is the other one that people talked about. Would be probably suspected if Scizor were to go away. So
yeah, I can see that too.
That sounds a lot like Gen 4 again, all over again.
Just wait.
Oh yeah, it'll be great.
Specs Jolteon everywhere. It'll be great.
Yep. So that's Yu-Yu. Not really much has changed because they kept Scizor there. So all your teams are still legal, folks. You don't need to change it. So moving right down the line, we've got another little plant. How about you, Shemu? What's this all about?
What's what about? The
what's NU all about? What's happening there?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. Linoon, is that Linoon?
No, this is a Vileplume gotcha. Thing.
Oh, it's Vileplume. Oh, okay.
Surprised you. So.
Strength Zap, I think, was the issue with that one. I don't know these little tiers.
Yeah, pretty much it's just that Vileplume has now, as of the 17th of June, is now banned from NU. And Sigma, you were thinking it was mainly Strength Zap, the move it got in Ultra?
Yeah, it's a really strong move, and it allows... Like, usually you'd be able to switch in your Incineroar on a Vileplume, but with Strength Zap, it's not the case.
Yeah, it refuses to go down.
It's kind of weird that it goes away after we get Passimian in the format, though, or Defiant Passimian in the format, because you'd think that would have been, like, some kind of answer to it, but I guess Passimian doesn't really have great answers to Vileplume, so...
Especially when it has Moonblast, you can always catch it with that on the Switch.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, you're just skimming through. You see a lot of just, like, high attack stats. It's like it's either, like, low, a couple mediocre ones, then you got, like, high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of those mediocre ones, like, you just take them down a peg. There's nothing they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Even against, like, something like a Rotom. It's a plain Rotom, not defensive. Mm-hmm. It's just how it kind of looks.
Yeah, I don't think it's too controversial of a ban, though.
No.
Yeah.
It's not like Zygarde was at the beginning of the year. Poor little snake. Didn't deserve it.
Poor guy. No. Oh, well. It let me use Celesteela with more reliability, so I'm okay with it.
Nagirna's just sitting there waiting.
Yep.
Laughing as Zygarde's taken away into the night.
Yep. Ugh. So the last tier that we really talk about that we're going to talk about in this, because there's not really going on anything. There's not really anything going on in OU or Ubers or other tiers, really. It's just these three. The last one is the continued RU tests that we've talked about on the last couple of Battlecasts, where they're retesting a whole bunch of things, seeing if they're still worthy of being banned. The one they were scheduled to be doing now is Talonflame. However, they've paused the whole retesting thing in order to test something completely different. Linoon is being suspected in RU, probably because it's a terrifying sweeper. You can ask Claude about it. Belly Drum, Citrus, Gluttony, Extreme Speed is gross. Mm-hmm. And there's only a few things that it can't break through by itself, which are very easily taken advantage of. So I can see the reason why they would be going for this.
Yeah, I was going through the form a bit too, just before we started recording. And it seemed that it was like Linoon. Like, you can essentially have Linoon and A-Check can defeat any form of a team, is what they were what was coming across. Because before they suspected Linoon, they were deciding with Grains or Linoon was a problem, trying to figure out which was the one to do, which they decided to suspect Linoon first, at least. But, like, it does get good coverage, too. You gotta think about that. It gets things like Seed Bomb. It gets things like Gunk Shot.
Does it have Stomping Tantrum now, too?
I believe it does. I will look, though.
I'm not 100% sure on that one.
It gets Player Off. Yeah, because previously... Stomping Tantrum. Super Fang.
Okay, yeah, there it is.
If you have a wall, you have Super Fang to cut it in half. Like, it doesn't get Iron Tail. Not that I would say you'd probably run that.
No, you probably get better coverage elsewhere. You get Extreme Speed. Yeah. That's the big one.
You do get Throat Chop.
Its biggest problem before was steel types. I've used it a little bit, and like steels were just ugly to try and get past because your main coverage is extreme speed, and
steel types would hurt it. So you do have Stomping Tantrum to hurt some of them.
Yeah, and now that Shadow Claw's neutral too, that kind of helps.
Yeah, because Bronzong's a big one over in that tier. So
Bronzong just runs Throat Chop.
Yeah,
it's the strongest physical dark type it gets. So.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't get knockoff, doesn't get anything else really. It gets pursuit, but like that's gonna do a 40. Or no, it's already 40 like does that. It can possibly do 80.
I mean at plus 6.
Yeah. At plus 6 it won't matter that much, but.
But yeah. So Linoon is scary. It's currently being tested until the 26th of June, so the day before this comes out. So we'll find out what happens after this episode comes out. Stay tuned to the RU tier to find out. And then after that, I anticipate they'll restart the retests with Talonflame again, because that's the one it looks like they paused for the Linoon test, and then they'll move on to Absol. So stay tuned to find out what happens next. And that's pretty much the state of the Union, the state of the tiers right now. Not a whole lot is going on. We're kind of in mostly the calm before the storm. That's especially why nothing's happening in OU, I imagine, because they don't want to pull another Mega Sableye and ban it a month before the game comes out.
No, they banned it like the day the game came out.
Yeah. Silly.
We hate Snarl that much in Gen 6 OU.
Yeah, we're just going to make sure it's never seen again. But that's where we are right now. That's the state of the tiers. So you've listened to us talk about boring things for long enough. Let's move on to the reason you clicked this episode. We're going to move into What on Earth is Dynamax? We'll be right back. All aboard. It's time for the topic. Hello again. We're back with the actual reason that you're here, to find out the mystery behind what on Arceus's Earth Dynamax is, what it does, and potential implications to just general competitive battling as we can kind of predict it here. So let's kind of go into just what Dynamax is. A lot of you might know some bits and pieces, but we kind of wanted to gather everything in one place with all the information we have as of some people trying the demo, the videos and Twitter things that we've all seen and compiled and put together, just to kind of have the total idea of what this mechanic does on the end of June. So starting off, we've got the actual Dynamax. The moment you click the bracelet and pull the Pokemon back and make it the size of a house or two behind you. So with that, what's the biggest thing about that, Sigma?
You get 3 turns of 50% HP increase.
Yep.
That is the big thing it is. Also, your attacks change property to be more similar to like Z moves, but not quite as overpowered as they were.
Yeah. We'll go into a little bit more on the move detail here in a little bit. But basically what Dynamax is just turns where all your moves become something else and you have a 50% HP boost rounded down.
Yep.
So if it's a fraction, it's just rounded down.
Something you could think of for that is during the demo, if you had a Grookey that you Dynamaxed while the Dreadnought was also Dynamaxed, its grass move would not KO the Dreadnought. That's how big of a difference that 50% HP can do.
Yeah.
And that's time
through
a effective
quad weakness. Yeah.
Well, then again, that Dynamax might just be like completely messed up because that thing is insane.
That thing is crazy. Yeah.
That thing should not be that fast.
Yeah.
I
think it outsped everything except Scorbunny, but who was using a Scorbunny against a water rock type?
I outsped it with Corviknight.
Okay.
But even then, Corviknight does nothing to it.
Yeah, because I think it's got Steel Wing as an attack, and that's neutral at best.
It did maybe a fourth.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It looks crazy. There is something that we've seen in some of the shots called Dynamax Level. We have no idea what that does right now. If it's even something that really matters in game, or if it matters in Wi-Fi type battles, which is what competitive battling is based on, I imagine that might be something like the Affection Hearts, where it does stuff in game, but not in actual real battles.
I would expect that to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
That could affect stat boosts too, because right now, like maybe Dynamax level 1 is just HP. Dynamax level 2 is like maybe a +10 to everything.
Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
Like level 3 is like something else completely.
But I don't expect it to be a thing in PvP.
I don't think so. Right. They're going to set it to just base 1. They're going to set it to a base of one of those. They're not going to set it to.
Yeah,
like,
they're going to
let you have a
out.
Different Dynamax level for like for your character. If anything, it's just going to be like, hey, Dynamax level 2 is the static like love Dynamax for all battles. Not mm-hmm. like
yeah.
You gotta have one person with a level 1, then one with like a level 3 or something like that. They'll all be one unanimous level.
Mm-hmm. So that's we don't really know. We're guessing on that mechanic. We've seen it. We know it's in the game. We don't know what it does. The other thing about Dynamax that we've mentioned before and that you might have seen in some of the official press, it lasts 3 turns unless you're in one of the raid battles. But in regular battles, Dynamax, the phenomenon, lasts 3 turns for a Pokemon. That's it. It's like Mega, but only lasts a little bit. Additionally, we found out through the demos that switching out while you have Dynamax active eliminates the Dynamax boost. So if you have a Caterpie out that's Dynamax and you only attack on the first turn, switch it out. When you switch it back in, it'll be regular Caterpie and you've only used one turn of Dynamax. You don't get it back. So use it wisely on something that can stay in for the full three turns if that's what you want it to do.
Yep, that adds a nice bit of strategy to using it. So I like that.
Mm-hmm. So that's something important to note. It does not require an item. Is that correct, guys?
As far as we know, it does not.
Yeah, as far as we know. Because I believe in the demo, we didn't have any items.
Yeah.
But we couldn't, we couldn't go to the menu at all. All we had was just like move and like A and B.
Yeah, we can check Pokemon status on the status screen, so I don't think we had items. And I believe in the E3 demo, they gave everything Everstones, so.
Right.
It could be just like I assume with no items according to what we know, I should say. But they may change it later. It's still a demo, but I assume whatever they've got is what they've got.
Yeah, I don't think that mechanic's changing. I kind of like that because it lets you adapt based on the situation. So, kind of cool in my opinion.
Yeah. Not exactly mechanic-wise, but I think we probably should mention it. At the demo, they were taking our input, and they were giving feedback to people at Game Freak for saying that they might change.
Oh.
Apparently that was a thing. I didn't get asked, but other people did get asked.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's a thing. I don't know if anyone mentioned it on the main cast either, actually.
I don't know. Everyone recorded independently, so.
Yeah, I have no idea. And I know we didn't in ours, but that was a thing that happened. So you never know what might change. They might patch something in, or they might do a last minute tweak. If someone said, like, hey, why don't we have this? Why is this a thing? Etc., etc., etc. But I have a feeling most people just probably said, oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That or bring back decks. Bring back National Decks 2019.
Yeah, I imagine that's a big one. The last thing I want to go over about just regular general Dynamax is what happens if you've taken damage in Dynamax with the boosted HP and it ends. Like, what's your HP look like at the end of that? We've seen a couple videos and we've seen some people doing the demo. What it looks like, from what we can see, is it's percentage-based when you go out of Dynamax into the base form. So if, for those of you who are used to Showdown, if you had 60% of your health left at the end of the third turn of Dynamax, when it goes down, you'll still have 60% of your HP. It'll be 50% less numbers, but it'll still be the same percentage of HP. So if that makes sense to everybody. Do you think I made it clear, guys?
I got it, so.
Yeah. So it looks like it's going to be real easy for the folks at Showdown to implement that. They just have to change the number, and the percentage stays the same. So that's good to know. And that is kind of the features of Dynamax. The actual Dynamax part seems pretty simple and pretty boring. It's the moves that really start to go crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That's a thing.
Mm-hmm. So what was your experience with the moves, guys?
So after standing in line for like 30 minutes and watching people try to KO the Dreadnought with Grookey, I realized that I should Dynamax on the Goldeen that the gym leader had so I could set up the grassy terrain beforehand and then just destroy the Dreadnought. Destroy it.
There you go.
With the grassy terrain.
Right, because that's something to take into account. These max moves, the move becomes something else based on its type. Offensive moves all become max cool word that is affiliated with the typing. Max Flare for fire, Max Vortex for water, etc., etc.
I think water with Geyser.
Geyser, yeah. It might be. I'm thinking Z moves. Look at me just messing up all, left and right.
We'll remember it eventually once we're using it all the time.
Oh, yeah. So that's what all the offensive moves become. All of these carry some kind of secondary effect on top of them. So the fire max moves, at the end of damage calculation and completion of everything, it sets sun. And for the grass move that Sigma was talking about, at the end of the max overgrowth, I think?
Sure.
Max something?
Yeah, max
we'll go
overgrowth.
With that.
Yep, that's correct.
Max overgrowth, it sets grassy terrain at the end of that. So you've got the 50% grass boost, you've got the healing all at the end. These all set some kind of effect. Some of them will raise a stat on yourself. Things like the steel max move will raise your defense stat. But things like the dark max move will lower the opponent's. And if we count them all out, there are 4 weathers, there are 4 terrains, and there are 5 alterable stats. So together, that accounts for all 18 types. We've seen a lot of them. We've seen about half of them, 10 or so, I guess, confirmed. So like fire does sun, water does rain, rock move sets sand, grass move set grassy terrain, fairy move set misty terrain, electric move set electric terrain. And as I mentioned, steel raises your defense, flying raises your speed, dark lowers the opponent's special defense, and normal lowers the opponent's speed. Those are the ones that we have confirmed right now. Probably safe to guess that the ice max move will set hail and the psychic max move will set psychic terrain.
Yeah, not much of a stretch in that thought process.
We should also say that status moves all turn to max guard, which is just a protect.
Yes, that's what I was going to get to, yeah, too. So we'll just dive into that one. Every status class move becomes max guard. All of them. Be that recover, swords dance, leech seed, shift gear, geomancy. So you're not going to have... no matter what type, they all status become max guard. So thank Arceus for that, right, guys?
Yeah, and it's like, then all status turn to a normal type status move.
Yeah. So while you've got the 50% boost to HP, you're not going to have something sitting in front of you, swords dancing, because that became max guard. It can't... It basically disables recovery and setup while you're... Yeah. Dynamax.
Well, one thing you can always think about doing is just setting up then Dynamax.
Yeah.
When I thought about doing that with Wulu when I was doing it, I'm like, oh, I can just Cotton Guard twice and then go to Dynamax and start attacking. But like,
I'll be curious to see if that ends up working or if it just resets stats upon Dynamax.
That would actually be something to... I should try that.
Yeah.
I imagine it'll keep it. It'll retain it.
If you can boost stats too well in Dynamax anyways via the moves. Like,
because that seems really dangerous to allow you to set up and then Dynamax with a massive HP boost.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes it harder to revenge you. Mm-hmm. But that means you have an easier chance of taking something out when it's in the setup stages.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I'm curious, I just thought of this. Agility Final Gambit.
Yeah. But that'd also be one of those things where you're wasting Dynamax. But you could, depending on how high your HP goes than what you have.
Yeah.
Or like Scarf Final Gambit. Scarf Dynamax Final Gambit. Just turn one. Goodbye.
Oh, that could be a thing, yeah. If it doesn't matter if you have an item or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of wish that we had more visible abilities in the demo as well to see if it might have turned off abilities.
Yeah, that's something I'm curious
because
about, too.
Because I could see Dynamaxing doing something like that. It's like, yeah, your abilities and items don't exist during Dynamax or something like that.
Yeah. Especially because that would be weird with choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the... If you have 4 fighting moves on your choice band Terrakion because you're insane, all 4 instances of those fighting moves become the max fighting thing. So yeah. I mean, in a sense you're using the same attack, but your choice locked to one of them, it could get confusing on which one to click.
Then it comes down to the point too, if you're like, for example, you're locked into close combat and then you Dynamax, and if you're still locked you can't use close combat.
Yeah, what happens with the locking of
that
choices?
I think at that point you just struggle.
Yeah,
and then by first, if you go Dynamax choice band into Max Knuckle, like, and then you go out, you technically can't use the Max Knuckle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as being disabled, I would think. Like, you have a move to be disabled, you are now struggling until disable wears off.
Yeah. I imagine it could do that, or it'll just say, okay, you're basically soft reset, go ahead and pick another move that you're locked into, and you just remember which one you clicked. The other thing about that is, like Z moves, and why we're kind of stressing about how it's important you remember which choice max knuckle you click on, is because the base power of the max move changes based on the base power of the move it's based on. So it's in many cases it's not that big of a boost.
Yeah, and you have to consider too, it will eat away at the PP for that move.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Change.
Oh,
because
yikes!
As Wulu, I remember seeing there's multiple like. They had multiple different PP values. Like, there's a 15, there's a 20.
Ooh.
So, yeah, they do have different values.
Okay,
I guess
that's different.
Also a nice balance. So it's like, hey, you can still use this to power it up close combat, but you are still using up your close combat. You are not getting free attacks.
That's good to know. That's something I didn't even consider. Yeah, because it would be like you have 11 instances of close combat instead of 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it's still just the 8. That's good to know. As far as an idea on the base power, though, a couple numbers we know for a fact and have confirmed is Spark, which is normally 65 base power, becomes 120 base power. So slightly less than double the power on Spark. So you'd expect from that, like, oh gosh, it's going to be crazy powered when you get to something like Wild Charge with 90 base power. Well, you're wrong. Wild Charge becomes 130 base power. So 10 more base power than the Spark. So it looks like the low powered moves get powered up, but the okay to high powered moves might just get a really minor little itty bitty boost. Something like Draco Meteor might go from 130 to 150, for instance.
I could see it even just going up to 140 and being like, oh, that's disappointing.
It's like old Draco Meteor.
Yeah, it's old Draco Meteor, except maybe it raises your special attack this time. Maybe. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know yet. So that's something too. It's not as crazy psycho powerful as Z moves. It's in some cases, you could argue even with like the Wild Charge, it's almost negligible at some level. I imagine something like Thunder or Thunderbolt or Fire Blast will basically be negligible power boost.
I could see them being the exact same.
Yeah, I could see that too. It just sets the weather. So the next turn, you have a 50% boost. So that's going to be the weirdest part, is keeping track of what weather, what terrain, all the crazy psycho field moves that are going on all at once. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a blast.
Yeah, imagine something like Alolan Raichu. If abilities aren't turned off, Alolan Raichu going Dynamax, launching a Thunderbolt, setting Electric Terrain, and activating its own Surge Surfer for next turn.
Mm-hmm.
Or Hawlucha using Thunder Punch to do the same thing and consume its Electric Seed to activate Unburden on its own.
Yeah.
You don't need the Coco Switch anymore. You've got Thunder Punch and you're good.
That's but Hawlucha also has the ability to be running like Acrobatics, and when it uses that in its other form, it gets a speed boost anyway. So There's the option of just being Mold Breaker and having another item or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see that where that goes.
It's kind of crazy. And if fighting raises your own attack. So we played around a little bit. We kind of put our brains together and we've got a prediction chart. So we've got this recorded. This is what we think is going to turn out. So we predict that attack will be raised by the fighting max move. It'll be lowered on the opponent by ground. That poison will lower the defense stat of the opponent. Bug will lower the special attack of the opponent. Dragon will raise the special attack of you. And Ghost will raise the special defense on you. That's what we're at right now. We have no idea.
I feel kind of strong with the fighting and dragon. Ghost are kind of weird. And
The other kind of variables and stuff like that. I could see even ground and fighting being swapped around.
Ground and poison be swapped around. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, a lot of them can be swapped around. It's just some of them are like a weird like spot like, where they fit multiple type, but then again, they also just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like Dragon.
Dragon, I agree with you. I think that's the strongest thing because you pointed this out off air. Of the remaining types we have that aren't confirmed other than Psychic and Ice, because those are obvious, Dragon's the last one in the what was once special category.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably will interact there somehow.
Yeah, I mean, there was Dark too, but apparently Dark is dropping special defense, so whatever.
Yeah, that one's confirmed. That one's confirmed for dropping special defense somehow.
That's because Grookey had knockoff.
There we go. That's why.
I was kind of waiting to see when we get, like, the possible option of, like, max moves doing more technical effects. I was talking about the software as well. Just, like, giving rapid spin, giving something, like, neutral weather, neutral terrain, like, just clearing them. Like,
yeah, you made the great parallel to certain exclusive Z moves.
Yeah, like the possibility of signature moves turning to a certain max move. Like, we'll say, let's go with Primarina's like operatic
or whatever.
Yeah, its signature move like turning to something, some other max move like max opera, we'll say, and it does, like, something specific. Like, it'll heal you for 25% or something like that, something minor.
Yeah.
Like, what if they do that with certain signature moves? And, like, if you start doing that, you can go in a lot of ways. I don't think they'll make it where they raise stats, per se.
Mm-hmm.
Because they...
It might have just some other effect.
Yeah,
that's kinda
have
cool.
More of a technical effect. Like, hey, if you use some... I don't know, like, something that might set some screens or something like that, or maybe, I don't want to say Orville would do it, but, like, Max Orville would, like, set Hail and, like, maybe a minor screens or something like that. Like, here's...
Yeah.
We'll set Hail for you and give you two turns, or, well, three turns, we'll say, yeah. Of dual screens.
Yeah.
Well,
I could see the rooms being set.
As of right now, there's a part of the leak that has been right so far. Where I could see something like that coming into play. So hopefully next episode that'll be something that we can talk about.
Yeah, I hope so. So the other thing that I don't think we've talked about yet is what Max Guard does. It's got a couple unique quirks. It's Protect. Ta-da! That's pretty much it. The only odd thing about it is that if you hit something that used Max Guard with a max move of your own. So, for instance, Dreadnought used Max Water on something that used Max Guard. So it blocks the damage. It also blocks the secondary effect. So Rain is not set if the move was blocked with Max Guard. We don't know there was nothing that learned Protect in the demos and things that we've seen, so we don't know if Protect does the same thing. Or even if Protect blocks max moves at all.
I could see it being like Z moves where a percentage goes through a regular Protect or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I could see that too, where a percent goes through and it still sets the secondary.
Yeah.
I could see that. But to make Max Guard different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's what Max Guard does that's interesting and important to note is it blocks the secondary effect, regardless of what it is. Weather, terrain, stat lowering, that's all blocked. It also has the chance to fail, like Protect, probably at the same rate. So it's 50% the first time, yeah. 40%, 30%, blah, 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 all the way down to 25.
At least they
probably at the same rate.
They made a correct protecting move on, like, Wide Guard, which they buffed and then they...
Yeah.
It was fine, then they buffed it, and then now it's like, hey, it's stupid.
I'm okay with it.
That won VGC Nationals. That won the VGCs with Wide Guard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything else, it was just Wide Guard.
I think Wide Guard's in a good place. Otherwise, it would be pretty useless not being able to Protect and Wide Guard. So, that's beside the point.
Yeah.
Continuous Wide Guard is okay by me. If you don't have a way to go through Wide Guard, that's your own fault for creating it that way,
I guess. But also one thing that you're saying with the max, I didn't know that it blocked the effects as well as the damage.
Yeah.
What that tells me now is probably if the attack doesn't actually go through and do damage, I assume it doesn't actually trigger the effects. So, for example, if you have Flash Fire and you take a Max Flare, most likely that Sun will not go through.
Yeah, that's true too.
That's what I'm assuming at this point. Or for something like Immune, like you have Levitate, it doesn't set that defense part or whatever it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of absorbs it.
Yeah.
That would
be
cool.
That'll be interesting, yeah.
I assume it comes out to the point where the tech actually has to connect and deal damage for it to actually trigger. The poison will not trigger on steel, electric will not trigger... Well, yeah, electric will not trigger on ground.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm assuming at this point. It could change.
Yeah, it very well could.
And it could with, just... It could
terrains
just
are weird.
It could be just a trait via Max Guard or Protect, maybe, or something. And if it's negated via a protecting move, it could be that. But it makes me think that the other is likely.
Yeah. So with that, we've kind of entered the speculative things. So what are some things that you guys learned from the demo or want to really see? Kind of like what you mentioned with protecting moves and things like that. What are other parts? How could this impact competitive battling as we know it with this mechanic coming in?
Oh, it's going to affect weather a lot because that means you don't actually need a weather setter.
Yeah.
Like, and then what if, like, okay, Damp Wreck on your Dynamax Pokemon. You just attack to do 8 turns of weather.
Yeah, that's one thing I really want to know. Does Damp Rock or Terrain Extender still work with this?
That'll be curious, yeah.
Yeah, it's just... I really like the effects on the moves, mainly the weather and the terrain, because what that does is that just says, hey, you can use these effects more. These effects become viable. These teams become more viable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have a lot easier access to setters.
Your sweeper can actually just set it up itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to mention the snowballing effect that, say, fighting it Pokemon will have if they do get the attack boost.
Yeah.
Yeah. If your primary stab move becomes your setup move, that's you become terrifying. Kangaskhan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really comes down to the point, too, if, as I was saying earlier, if they give signature moves an additional attack, like, how far they're going to go with it, if they go with it at all. I'd like to see... The one thing I want out of this is I want it to make it more technical. Ooh. Because there's a lot more options now. And mm-hmm. if they go another level, that makes even more options. That makes things that were just garbage have a use. By saying, hey, my healer can now do certain amounts of damage, or my damage dealer can now set up my terrain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it just gives Pokemon more roles, and it also kind of fixes that the four move syndrome in a way.
Or yeah, like, you're right.
Roles like, hey, I've got these 6-7 Pokemon I want, but I'm like, here's my actual team, but I need this role, like this weather setter, to help me out with this option or something like that. Or like, I'm just one weather setter short. Hey, I can just choose this Mon. It's about to die. Dynamax, set the weather, and then it dies, and it's just. It opens the doors to a lot more things, and in that same aspect, if anything can Dynamax, it also makes that point where it's kind of going negatively. There's a comeback mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they've introduced, the comeback mechanic, in the same way as giving it the new fun gimmick.
Yeah,
this means this Pokemon that's about to be dead can just click Dynamax and tank a hit and get a knockout or something like that, and that momentum just shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good? Is it bad? I want to say it's more good, but we don't really know until it happens.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested to see how this affects bulky Pokemon that have some awkward movesets, like a Wishiwashi, or even better, Galissapod, where you have First Impression then Leech Life, but then you can Dynamax that and get rid of First Impression for something that you could use more than the first turn.
Yeah. Important to note, especially for Galissapod example, is that, and it's probably fairly obvious, but when you Dynamax, it disables the secondary effects of all the other moves.
Mm-hmm.
They become something different. So Leech Life no longer heals you. First Impression loses its priority status.
Mm-hmm.
All important things to note, but definitely scary.
In that same vein, too, because we don't know if... Most likely, I assume, it's not re-entering the board, or re-entering the field. Because how Dynamax works is you recall it, you enlarge the Pokeball, you send that out again. And then afterwards, you pretty much do the same thing backwards. Mm-hmm. I believe. Does that actually shrink, or do you actually recall it? I can't remember.
You recall it, and then you grow the Pokeball, and then throw it behind you based on the animation.
Yeah, but afterwards, is that actually recalling it, or does it just shrink?
I think it just shrinks.
Okay.
Yeah, it just shrinks at the end of that.
So that wouldn't matter for that. Because I was thinking, like, because if it recalled after that, would it then allow First Impression to be active again?
Yeah.
For that scenario, it wouldn't, because if you're sent the... The next time you're sending it out, it's technically when it's Dynamax, it wouldn't even have access to it.
Yeah, I remember seeing that in the Serebii video. The Dreadnought just shrank, and the next clip was it just standing in front of Nessa. So it doesn't, quote-unquote, re-enter the field.
Yeah.
But that kind of brings up the other question that I had. How does the whole Dynamaxing thing... Does it re-interact with things like hazards? Because if you recall the thing and send it back out behind you, do you take another round of Stealth Rock and Spikes damage? Right before you recall the Pokemon to do the Dynamax Band and make it big, will Pursuit be proc'd?
Mm-hmm.
And does something like Payback or Analytic that looks for switchouts or something like that, will that be proc'd too on the turn that you Dynamax? Those are all kind of questions that I've got.
Hopefully not. I don't see it happening. I expect it to just count as staying in. The more interesting question you have is whether it affects low kick damage and grass knot damage.
Yeah.
I'm going to hope it
doesn't. How much does this change weight?
Yeah. That's the one that has me curious.
Yeah. And sorry, Wailord fans. It's not going to be as big of an impact for you, because by the looks of it, everything is set to the same size. So a Dynamax to Joltik at exactly 4 inches high will be the same size as a Dynamax Wailord. So dang, there goes the memes. Oh, well.
So you're saying that Skitty and Wailord can finally see eye to eye.
So other things for Dynamax. Like, how do you think this will change specific Pokemon? Do you think there'll be some interesting tier things that... You guys mentioned that it makes some Pokemon more viable and things like that. Do you guys have any predictions on what tiers might start looking like after this?
Like I said earlier, Seeking's still a thing, so they're still going to be low tiers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things where we're probably going to expect most of it, but there'll be a couple options that are just kind of, oh, that should be a thing, but I can kind of see why that's a thing.
I could see a world where PU doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, mm-hmm. with selective picking of Pokemon and all that. Like,
with a smaller deck size, yeah, I could see PU just not existing anymore. Just like it was in Diamond and Pearl, I think it was. Maybe even Black and White, I can't remember that back that far. I think PU was a Gen 6 construction.
Yeah. I anticipate there'll be Ubers, OU, underused, never used.
I question if there will even be Ubers.
Well, there has to be a ban list somewhere. They've got to put...
No, I'm saying Xerneas, I could see it being anything goes instead of Ubers. Just because there will be so few Pokemon in the format.
That's true. That's true.
Because I don't expect a lot of banned legendaries to be in the game anyway.
That is very true. Yeah.
And with Megas gone, it's like, oh yeah, have this format where you can play with Zacian, Zamazenta, and Aegislash.
Yeah. Hooray. That's a very good point. I hadn't considered that.
Yeah, I could see Ubers just not being a format anymore.
Fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would like to see him retest Aegislash, though.
I would like to see that.
If it even ends up in there, isn't that right, Lunatone and Solrock?
I mean, I don't expect Aegislash.
I thought we did.
No, we don't. I don't expect Aegislash to be in the game.
Either way, I'd still be down for a resale spec of that, because in my opinion, it is really strong, it just comes down to people not knowing how to play around it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is that it is severely hurt by Dynamaxing in an odd way, because it can't King Shield.
No, yes. This is its gimmick. But then again, if it isn't, like, it attacks, then it Dynamaxes, then you can get, like, a massive attack while having high HP.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what
happens.
Yeah, I could see Ubers just not being a thing. PU probably won't be a thing. NU might exist.
They gotta put the garbage somewhere.
Yeah, Seaking and Flareon need a home.
Yeah, they do. So that's pretty much what we know about the Dynamax phenomenon right now. There's more to learn. There's the moves to confirm as far as their secondary effects. There's things like, do items and abilities still work through this? Does the hazards and pursuit question go through? There's still things we've got to learn. And most importantly, as far as tiers go, we've got to learn what on earth is going to be in Galar. What's going to sneak across the border? What's going to be able to actually make it through? Because that will depend on... That'll show what our tiers are.
Yep.
Right now...
Yeah. Right now we've got, like, half of OU filled up by evolutions that used to be here.
Yep, it's looking like Gen 4's back, folks. Between Flygon, Jolteon, and Vaporeon...
Espeon.
It's back. Espeon 2.
Get Sylveon this time.
All with their new cool abilities. It's looking real interesting. It just will all depend on what actually can make it into this game and what gets the cool new abilities and all that kind of stuff. And obviously what the new Pokemon are. So that's the big thing too. We at least have a confirmed spike setter in Diggersby.
Good old Diggersby. We also have webs.
Galvantula. Yeah, Roserade. Roserade sets both spikes.
Oh, yeah, Roserade too. Oh, boy. This will be fun.
Roserade will be viable once more.
Gen 4.
Exactly. It just keeps getting more and more real. But anyway, that's kind of the meat of Dynamax. Like I said, we're going to be learning a lot more about this mechanic in the coming months, so stay tuned. We'll probably have another episode like this, kind of analyzing predicted things and more that we know about Dynamax and possibly that other sneaky hinted mechanic coming down the line closer to September or August-ish, right before the game comes out. So stay tuned for that. Other than that, we'll be going over the tiers like we've normally been doing. But for now, we're going to move on to the team of the episode provided by the lovely R Sigma. So we'll be right back.
And now it's time for Team of the Episode.
Hello again, and we're back reviewing the Team of the Episode, like I said earlier, provided by the lovely R Sigma. And this one is going to be in honor of Scizor still being amongst us in UU, a UU team. So, start us off, Shamu.
Alright, we have a Sylveon with Leftovers and Pixelate, with max HP, max defense, and 4 IVs and special attack. It's at 252, 252 in HP and defense, running bold, with Hyper Voice, Wish, Protect, Heal Bow. Just standard, like, bulky Sylveon, nothing special here. Wish Protect, as well as Heal Bow for cleric stuff, and then Hyper Voice with Pixelate, just to hit hard. And then we have a Scizor with a Choice Band, running Technician, with 164 HP investment, 252 attack investment, and 92 speed investment. With an adamant nature, running Bullet Punch, U-Turn, Superpower, and Pursuit. I don't know, I think the 692, that's the, base 70s, or like, base 75.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay. Let's see who gets there first.
It's just not their favorite. It appears to be Adamant Crawdaunt is our target.
I see.
As well as Uninvested Nidoqueen and Clefki.
So you're just, again, you're just a choice band. You have 4 attacking moves, so you can either just hit hard with one of your other moves, or you turn out. So, simple enough.
All right. And on to me and my 2. We've got our premier Gen 4 Stealth Rock setter in Swampert, holding Leftovers with max HP, max defense, and the Leftover in special defense. Relaxed nature, because we're a mixed attacker. We've got Stealth Rock, Earthquake, Scald, and Toxic. Pretty standard Stealth Rock setter. Swampert is really good at just being the typical bulky water and setting rocks at the same time, while also spreading a little bit of status through Scald and Toxic. And it's good to have a mixed attacker in here, because a lot of the other ones are one specialized thing, so a little bit of mix is good. Next we have Hydreigon, holding Dragonium Z, with 252 special attack, 4 special defense, 252 speed, timid nature, moveset of Dark Pulse and Draco Meteor for maximum kill potential, Defog for support, and Roost for healing up.
Yep.
Pretty standard Hydreigon. Good for breaking things open. It's fantastic in UU. That's pretty much what there is to say about it.
Good in OU, good in UU. It's a good Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming to Galar.
It's coming to Galar. Get ready, folks.
Yeah,
that thing wasn't broken in Gen 5.
Nah.
Definitely not banned.
No. All right. So last up, we've got Manectric for our Mega. We have max speed, max special attack, lightning rod, because occasionally you get those little standoffs at the beginning of the match where both you and your opponent lead Manectric. And hey, maybe you're going to just sit there with your lightning rod active and see if you can pull a Volt Switch. Anyways, we're timid nature, so we're maxed out in speed. Vault Switch, Overheat, you could run Flamethrower if you don't have trust in it, but I prefer Overheat. Thunderbolt and Hidden Power Ice for your Gligars that are slightly weakened, because you're not one-shotting a Gligar. it's true, you're not.
No.
Don't think you
that
will.
That thing's deceptively strong.
Don't think you will. Alright, and last up, we have an Infernape with a Choice Scarf, because I feel like you really want something with a Choice Scarf in this format with around 100 or plus speed. So we have we have it here. We're Jolly, max attack, max speed. Last point in defense, I don't think it really matters. We have the Blaze ability, because sometimes that's relevant on Infernape, because it'll run Mach Punch down here sometimes with the Life Orb. But we're Scarf, so we don't care. Flare Blitz, U-Turn, Close Combat, Gunk Shot. In other words, it can pivot well, it can deal damage to those Amoongus that annoy you, it can punch out the Empoleons that are annoying, and we have Gunk Shot for those fairies that we also hate.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good team overall. It's got a lot of standard stuff to it, but there's a reason they're standard. It's because they're good. Do you have any other insight on it, Sigma? You've got the most testing with this one.
Yeah, Scizor doesn't take hits as well as you think down here.
Nope.
That's the choice band set for you.
Yeah.
Other than that, I found Swampert is a really good switch in. You just have to watch out for HP grass occasionally on those Manectrics.
Mm.
Yeah. Apparently that's a thing they do. scary.
Yeah. I could see that. That's
I mean, otherwise they can't touch Swampert.
Yeah, but then if they can touch Swampert, they can't touch Hydreigon, so...
True. Hydreigon's just a great Pokemon, and if you get a Z-Draco Meteor off on something that it doesn't resist it, it's...
Oof.
It's not in a good place.
Let's get an F in the chat, folks.
So, yeah. It's a fine team. It's not going to get you too... It's not going to get you super high on the ladder, but it's a fun thing at the bottom, in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I like how you have the Sylveon here for wish support. Mm-hmm.
That's where I actually started the team at. It's like, I want to run a Sylveon.
Oh, there you go. Because that's really helpful for especially Swampert.
Mm-hmm.
And Scizor probably appreciates it too, being able to switch in on what Sylveon's weak against.
Yep.
So yeah, that's the team. We'll have the paste up in the... notes for you in the show description notes, whatever you want to call them this week, Thatch, for you, so you can take a look at it and try running it yourself in UU now that you have free reign of still being able to use Scizor. Praise Arceus. I like Scizor. I remember before it got Bullet Punch. It was terrible.
It was pretty bad. It's Steel Wing.
I tried to run
Don't
Iron
you love
Head.
Steel Wing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a signature attack, guys. Not really.
Before Bug Bite, before X Scissor, what was its bug move back then? Fury Cutter?
I don't remember. I think it was X Scissor, wasn't it?
X Scissor.
It's Heracross that doesn't learn
X Scissor was added in Gen 4, so Gen 3 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was stuck with like Fury Cutter or something for Bug Stab. It was a really bad.
Terrible.
It was a bad place. Gen 4 did a lot of things for bug and fighting types.
Yeah. And Scizor specifically. It basically gave it a signature move. Let's be honest. Bullet Punch is Scizor's signature move. I don't care what anybody says.
Ignore that Medicham over in the corner.
Medicham?
What's a Medicham?
What's a Lucario?
Rip off of a Scizor's signature move? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, you mean Bad Gallade.
Oh, yeah, Bad Gallade, yeah.
But yeah, that's the UU team, folks. Feel free to try it out. It's great fun. UU is in a good place. At the moment, it seems kind of balanced. Even with Scizor being at 40% usage, it's still balanced out by things like Hydreigon and Latias and things like that that can be equally as threatening. They kind of keep each other in check. Rock, paper, Scizor, you know.
Yeah, this is where a lot of starters end up, too. Like Infernape, Swampert, Empoleon, mm-hmm. Arena.
Yeah, those are all really good there. But yeah, that wraps up the show, guys. We hope you enjoyed listening to our predictions on what Dynamax can do, our knowledge of what it does at the moment. Of course, this can change in the next 48 hours before this show comes out, so who knows? It's a weird place we're in right now, right before the game comes out. So
they're doing the presentation on the little mobile game. I don't think we have to worry about it.
Yeah, we're safe. We're going to be okay, guys.
This week.
Yeah. The only thing is, all the Ubers are going to be there. Yay. That would be the announcement. But yeah, you can find us. You're already listening to us on the Puckle Plus feed. But if you're not listening to us on the Puckle main feed, you're missing out on the beautiful, sonorous voice of Thatch himself leading out the podcast there. You can listen to other shows on the Plus feed, things like Game Corner and TCG Cast. And when they happen, the Patreon live shows. Those are all here in the Puckle Plus feed, so listen to those. If you want to support the show, ways you can do that are social media. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on YouTube. We put a lot of things there. We're going to be finishing up the Draft League videos on YouTube. Those are coming out bit by bit, and we're going to announce the champion of the Draft League there. It was between two teams. That's all I'm going to say. And we'll see what happens, because I think the announcement is being made there. So if you missed it, don't feel like you missed it, because you haven't missed it. And other than that, we have a Patreon, as I mentioned earlier. If you feel like you can contribute to the show, things like that go directly back to the community. You get physical badges out of it. It's so cool.
Really,
you guys got to see them.
They're really cool. I have them on my desk right now.
I think they're better quality than the pins that Pokemon were giving away for doing the demo, which is weird.
Yeah, really? They were. Those pins that they gave out were really low quality, I have to say.
They were falling off the lanyards, whereas our pins stayed on. So.
Oh, no. Well, that was supported by the Patreon. So thank you, folks, who are part of the Patreon for letting us get that, as well as, you know, you can join in and grab some badges for yourself. We have the Summer League going on as well right now. You can find information on that on our Discord server, which is where all the things happen. If you want to hear us and talk to us either through texting or talking to us vocally, that's the place to be, is on our Discord server. That's where all the tournaments take place. I can't stress that enough. It's the place to be. Other than that, that pretty much wraps up all of the social media and other such plugs. So thanks for listening to Battlecast. I have been Seth Vilo.
I've been Shamu.
I've been R Sigma.
And we'll catch you guys next month when the entire world of Pokemon has changed again and we'll reanalyze everything. See you later.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from L.A. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more. Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.